Senti amor mi chiama, amor io de giovanelli, il certo mio darei per consolar quel cuore, il certo mio darei per consolar quel cuore, ma sappio il fin dirò, ma conosci al fin di giorno, prenda fianco in trono degli schiavi, amor, prenda accanto in trono, accanto in trono degli schiavi.
For the new production of Verdi's Rigoletto at the Metropolitan Opera, director Michael Mayer has moved the opera's tragic events from the decadent 16th century Italian court of Mantua to the glitzy, depraved setting of the Los Angeles Strip of the 1960s. Italian tenor Vittorio Grigolo stars in the role of the womanizing Duke, joined by an international cast that includes Georgian baritone George Gagnidze as Rigoletto, American soprano Lisette Oropesa as Rigoletto's daughter Gilda, Venezuelan bass Enrico Giuseppe Iori as the assassin for hire's Sparafucile, and Spanish mezzo-soprano Nancy Fabiola Herrera in the role of Maddalena. It's with great pleasure that I welcome Vittorio Grigolo, who has quickly established himself as one of the leading tenors of his generation, to our show now. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, Leonard. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, is it typical of an opera cast nowadays to be so international?
I think it's the fact we were talking before that all this wonderful Verdi's music was, supposed to be played. I think it's the fact that now planes are too fast and we don't travel with the boat. So I think that the fact that we have international cast, the music is opera has been loved. I think all over the world, and it's easy to have a different culture. You know, people involved in this. Wonderful.
Well, you have sung the Duke before and all over the world at La Scala, the Royal Opera at Covent Garden. Also, didn't you and Zubin Mehta and the Israel Philharmonic perform a special gala performance of Rigoletto in Tel Aviv?
Yes, we did.
Then a worldwide broadcast
from Mantua. And I promise you, it was very friendly. It was friendly, you know, because it was very friendly. And it was actually a beautiful moment with that orchestra, with Zubin. And after that moment, Zubin told me, Vittorio, why don't we do, because it was my debut actually with him, and I was, a few months later, there would be the movie production. We did this beautiful movie of Rigoletto with Rai and live. On 150 countries.
Rai is the Italian.
Yeah, Italian TV.
Coverage.
Yeah. And with Placido was doing actually the Rigoletto part.
So Placido Domingo, who's now moved into
the
baritone parts,
correct,
played Rigoletto. He played this role, the Duke of Mantua. I assume none of those productions were set in Las Vegas. Does it affect your approach to the role, whether it's set in Mantua or in Las Vegas?
You know, I think it's a good idea. I think we are in New York. I think opera needs that kind of fresh attitude. I think Las Vegas, when I jump into this production, and I didn't know about this old Las Vegas thing, and they said, do you want us to send you a video or some documentation? I said, no, please, I really want it to be, I want to see it when I'm there. I don't want to be, I don't want to make judgment before. I'm very conservative in terms of Rigoletto and the libretto. You know, sometimes ideas can be sometimes too crazy, but I really feel that this is an incredible production.
Well,
everything works.
The set is just so exciting. I don't know whether that affects the way
the light, the ballet, the choreography is incredible. I mean, Lorena did a great job, and all the it's not only the chemistry. I mean, I think that you can smell the mafia things going on. You know that it's cool. The guy, the Duke, is not only a vicious young guy has supposed to be and have all the girls. Is not he has that control that that not only the power, he has that, you can really see the casino gives you more the idea of the viciousness of this guy. You
In
know,
most operas, the tenor plays the good guy. Is it is this a relief to be able to play
to be
the
bad,
villain
to
for
be
a
bad,
change?
To be bad? I'm always dreamed to be bad. I'm actually bad a lot. But actually, I wanted to laugh. But of course, I'm always the romantic, the kissing, the loving guy, you know. And I, for one time, I have to play the bad guy. It feels good, I have to tell you.
You were born in Arezzo, although you grew up in Rome. Now, Arezzo is not all that far from Mantua. And an earlier Gonzaga, Duke of Mantua, commissioned Mantegna to paint some of the greatest paintings of the Italian Renaissance.
Mantegna, yes.
But this is a later Duke of Mantua?
Yes, yes.
How many performances of this Rigoletto are scheduled?
But, there are performances, there are three left. So it's going to be 24, 27, and 1st. Of May.
And if people want more information about it, they can go to our show page at WNYC.org. Michael Mayer has directed a wide range of things on Broadway, on films and on television, and a lot of musicals, including Spring Awakening, American Idiot. Does he bring a Broadway sensibility to the opera world?
Come on. The beginning is just, I have this mic. Did you ever see a guy as a tenor singing Questa o Quella with a microphone? I said, this is a genius. This is an idea.
Yeah, but you're still not like, really using, the mic isn't on.
It's not on the mic. Of course, we can't use the mic, but the fact he's there actually gives you that impression that everything has to be more easy and flexible, not that kind of, you know, the stiff tenor that stay there, sits his feet, and look at the, you know, at the front row and start singing Questo Quella. No, it's different. It's like something, you have the mic, you're relaxed, you're feeling the vibe, you're like, you know, kind of that wave. And it actually, Michael said to me, I want a kind of a Frank Sinatra guy. And I said to him, you know what? I like Frank Sinatra, but I feel a little bit rocking. I'm going to do like a little bit of Elvis. So I feel like sometimes I open a little bit my arm and shake my knees, you know, like the Elvis moves. I feel that is, you know, you want to attract young people to opera. You want to be, this is, you know, I think it's important, Leonard. You do the most wonderful job, I think, is to communicate, work in communication. And I think that the most important things that is lacking today, it is communication, where communication is fast and everything. So,
but it seems to me that opera singers today are much better as actors than they were 30 years ago. There were the exceptions, of course, like Callas. But today, almost everybody is expected to be a good actor and a good singer.
But maybe this is what we learn from musical. This is what we want to learn from musical. This is what we want to learn from communication. I go back again to this step. And, you know, the world is moving on and fast. And we is not anymore enough to have a beautiful voice and stay planted on that spot and sing. It is in order to attract a vaster and wider audience, we need to be able to move, you know, to act, to be in the character, to feel, and not, you know, not only just sing.
My guest is Vittorio Grigolo, who stars as the womanizing Duke.
Womanizing, that's cool.
Yeah, well, that's what you are in this, and tragically so. Didn't you discover your passion for music fairly young, 4 years old?
Yeah, it was too early, you think?
No, that's great. But have you talked to other singers about that? Don't they usually discover later?
I should go to a psychologist and talking about, right?
Yeah.
It affects me too much. It affects me too much. No, I was young and everything happened for a reason. I was talking to a friend of mine coming here and I said that there are no accidents in life. So I think it was a beautiful accident that my mom broke her sunglasses. I went into this shop and she tried to repair them. And while she was doing that, I heard an Ave Maria of Schubert playing downstairs. I went down. There were two guys in the basement playing music. And everything starts from that point.
And then you became a soloist in the Sistine Chapel Choir.
Yes.
In the Sistine Chapel itself,
yes,
with all the Michelangelo frescoes around?
Oh, you want to know that. I mean, that's an incredible story behind it. I would say that if I have to do an album, I would call the Grigolo Code, you know, like Da Vinci Code. I have a lot of secret things you can tell about this beautiful experience of life I had in the Vatican in that period.
And then you had your opera debut as the shepherd in Tosca at the age of 13.
Yeah, I was young.
So you weren't even a tenor yet.
No, I was half a tenor. Yeah, but Luciano, I was there. I did it with Luciano Pavarotti. That was such an incredible man and artist. It was every night waiting for me behind the scene and, you know, cherish for me. And Vittorio, wow, you did that. And you need to do that if you continue studying, blah, blah, blah. So he gave me a lot of boost.
But most kids of 13 want to be pop stars.
I know. But I want to go back again. I start with this language. You know, today, of course, I don't go to a girl or somebody and use the Italian language that we use in opera because it's out of the world. I would never say, oh, your skin is so shine like butter or whatever it is. You know, like terminology-wise is so different. So I wanted really to start. I was infatuated, enchanted by, you know, I really liked these words and this vocabulary that was not, I was, you know, just attracted to it. And then, and to opera, to this kind of music that comes so real without any technical, you know.
And then you became advice. The youngest tenor ever to perform at La Scala in Milan, just 23 years old. What did you sing?
Actually, that was very cool because it was the first time. It was a concert, Beethoven, and I was singing with other four people the Ninth Symphony, and with Muti directing. And actually, after 4 months, there was the inauguration of the opening of the season with Verdi, and it was last year that La Scala was because after was closed for restoring the old theater. So I was so excited, and I have to tell you that thing that when I came on stage, I had two black scores, the same, you know. I was singing Tantum Ergo and Notturno a Cinque Voci, two inedited arias never released from Verdi. And I messed it up, and the second time I came on stage, I came with the wrong score, and I was all the time looking at the chest and of Barbara Frittoli that was next to me. And my mom from the other side of the television was saying, Vittorio, the first time you go on TV, the only things you can do is looking at the chest of the Frittoli. I said, Mom, it's not true. I was looking at her score because I completely messed it up. So that was my
first
debut.
Maybe you were being typecast as a womanizer for good reason.
Oh, my God.
At the beginning of Act 3, you get to sing one of the most famous arias in Italian opera, La Donna Immobile. The irony here is that the Duke of Mantua, of course, is unfaithful to everybody. He's saying women are fickle, but he is an unfaithful playboy. Is it a bit intimidating to sing that? Because it's been a popular showcase for tenors going all the way back to the first one, Raffaella Mirate, who sang it in the opera's premiere in 1851. That it was praised then as a highlight of the evening. And I found it fascinating to learn that Verdi must have suspected it was going to be a hit, because before the first public performance, it was rehearsed under tight secrecy. And then, after the first performance, every gondolier in Venice was singing it.
I mean, there is a lot of pressure in every moment you go on stage, not only to sing La Donna Immobile. Of course, when you go out and you sing something that it's in the ear of everybody, you know, even the profane, even though the one who doesn't know nothing of opera, if you start singing on the street, la 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 li la la, everybody knows about it, you know. So you got just that feeling. But when you go on stage, then I feel just comfortable. I just want them to enjoy, because if I'm there and I will suffer also myself, I have that pain to have that big heavy thing on my shoulders that, oh my God, I'm singing that and that. No, I would never enjoy it. At least I'm enjoying that moment too. So
and it's one
I'll
of
take
the,
it like this.
It's one of the arias you've recorded.
Yes.
You've had two recordings so far, one of West Side Story and the other the Italian tenor. Well, actually, there's a third one, too.
Yes,
there?
Arrivederci. Mm-hmm. Arrivederci actually is the last record, I think. And it was supposed to have a release of a new one. It's called Ave Maria, but it was not released on December, and it will be next October will be released.
But we had you had a number one hit. Your album, The Italian Tenor, was number one on the Billboard Classical Charts. So congratulations on
that. Thank you.
On all the awards. More information about the remaining tickets to be able to see Vittorio Grigolo in Rigoletto. You can go to our show page at WNYC.org. Vittorio, thank you so much for being on our
thank
show.
Thank you for having me here.
La donna è mobile, qual piuma al vento, muta d'accento e di pensiero. Sempre un amabile, leggiadro viso, in pianto e in riso e menzognero. La donna è mobile, qual piuma al vento, muta d'accento. Pensiero.